reconvene into open session for closed session at 7:33 with no action taken. At this time, if you'd like to join us, we're going to have our invocation and our pledge. And I'm going to ask Mr. Miller to do our prayer for us. And then Ms. Tucker's got some three kiddos that's going to help us with our pledge. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity to serve MISD. And I just pray that you watch over us as we go through this meeting. Thank you for all the STAR students tonight. Just continue to watch over us. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
All right, Southside kiddos, if you want to come up, we're going to leave the pledges. Amazing. And is Tegan here? I may just have to. All right, let's put our hands over our heart. Ready? There you are, sister. All right, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, Steph. Absolutely. You can stand right here.
All right, at this time, we're going to have a spotlight on our new police officer. I guess Chief Rich, you got her here? All right, Miss Glenmo, y'all come on up and let everybody see you.
I'm going to introduce you. This is Presley Glenmo. She came over to us from DPS. Her primary campus will be at the intermediate. She also takes care of Lakeview. She's at all of our other elementary campuses. Good Preston. There he is.
All right, this time we'll do our STAR students. Dr. Marshall, thank you.
All right. We got great STAR students. Thank y'all for all coming out tonight. We're going to start with the south side.
All right, Maisie, can I start with you? Can you come over here for me? All right, this is our youngest one. This is Maisie Moon Marsh. She's in Miss Morrison's pre-K class, and she demonstrates a strong commitment to doing her best each day and takes pride in her work. She's thoughtful and dependable, often assisting her peers with a smile and encouraging them to do their best as well. Her kindness and caring nature make her a valued and respected member of our classroom community. All right, our next one is a first grader. It's Eva Trout. She's in Jacqueline Jules' first grade class. Ms. Jules says, Eva is an exceptional student who truly embodies the Maybank ISD philosophy of learning today and leading tomorrow. She consistently demonstrates kindness, honesty, and a strong work ethic in everything she does. She is eager to learn, always participates with enthusiasm, and volunteers to help both classmates and teachers without hesitation. Her positive attitude and commitment to excellence makes her a shining example of what it means to be a Maybank Panther, showing integrity, compassion, and leadership in all that she does. All right, and our third grader, Ms. Tegan Hitzfield, is in Ms. Warner's class. Ms. Warner says that Tegan is a caring and compassionate student who always goes above and beyond to help others. Even when she faces challenges, she shows perseverance and a strong desire to understand and succeed. Tegan is an amazing role model for her classmates, demonstrating kindness, determination, and a positive attitude in everything that she does. Ms. Tegan Hitzfield.
Parents can come up here and take pictures.
Come on up.
Yeah.
ladies, you did great.
Now we're going to have the intermediate campus.
All right, intermediate campus, come on up.
Central, you're next.
All right.
All right, we have Addison Sanders. Addison was nominated by her teachers, and they say that she consistently demonstrates academic excellence and a genuine love for learning. Addison leads by example, showing integrity, kindness, and respect towards her peers and teachers alike. Through perseverance and a positive attitude, she overcomes challenges with grace. Addison maintains excellent attendance, displays exemplar behavior, and contributes positively to the school community. Her dedication and consistent academic growth make her a deserving student of this recognition. Finley Preston. Finley's teachers say she is an outstanding student whose character, determination, and kindness sets her apart as a true role model among her peers. One of her most admirable qualities is her willingness to help others. Whether it is assisting classmates who are struggling, offering encouragement during a challenging moment, or simply sharing kind words with those around her, including her teachers, she uplifts and inspires everyone she encounters. Academically, she shows great focus and commitment to her education. She approaches challenges with determination, never allowing obstacles to stand in her way. She serves as a role model for her peers by consistently demonstrating responsibility, integrity, and leadership. Her kindness and dedication to her education and her unwavering determination is what makes her the proud recipient of this award. Levi Wettstein. He is a remarkable young man who consistently demonstrates responsibility, kindness, and determination in all that he does. In the classroom, Levi is always willing to help out wherever needed. His kind nature and willingness to put others first set a strong example for his peers, making him a valued and respected member of the school community. Academically, Levi is more focused and determined. He approaches each day with the goal of doing better than yesterday, showing perseverance and a commitment to self-improvement. Levi exemplifies the qualities of a role model student with responsibility, dedication, and compassion.
Whenever we see him, he's making great choices and setting a positive example for everyone around him. This is Matthew.
All right,
and next we have Jamison Johnson from Ms. Ledbetter's kindergarten class. And Ms. Ledbetter says, Jamison Johnson shows great self-direction and empathy in our classrooms. He takes initiative with his work, makes thoughtful choices, and looks for ways to help others. His kind attitude and respect toward classmates and his teacher make him a positive role model in our class. Keep up the good work, Jamison. And last but certainly not least, we have our first grader, Adelie Martin. Miss Kennedy says Adelie is an all-around star, from entering the classroom with a smile to ending the day with an "I wish the school were longer." She loves learning and being a helping hand. Her effort every day helps others to strive for the same accomplishment. She has many friends and understands the meaning of empathy. Adelie is a loyal partner, Panther, friend, and student.
One more time.
From Lakeview, come on.
And a genuine curiosity, consistently engaging with lessons and seeking to deepen her understanding. Her dedication and commitment to excellence make her a model student and a positive influence to all around her. Alright, next we will go to Peyton Stewart. This is our first grader. Her teacher said that she truly shines in everything that she does. She's always on task and gives her best effort no matter what. She consistently goes above and beyond what's expected by showing her real dedication to learning. She's an example for others by demonstrating kindness, respect, and responsibility every day. She is a kind student who lifts others up and helps create a positive and supportive classroom environment. So congratulations. Next, we have our second grader, Isabella Anderson. It says, Bella is the kind of student who walks into the classroom with a smile and a sense of purpose. She is the first to offer help, the first to say thank you, and the first to cheer on a classmate who needs encouragement. Whether it's organizing supplies without being asked, or helping a friend understand a tricky math problem, or showing kindness during recess, she always leads by example. She is a spectacular second grader. So congratulations.
One more time. Parents, if y'all are more than welcome to stay for the rest of this meeting, but I think y'all seen the highlights, so if y'all want to excuse yourselves, that's perfect. Thank y'all for bringing kids.
What is going on? I leave it to you.
There's a statement I have to read, and then after we read that, then we'll let y'all do y'all's business.
Sure.
All right. All right. The board encourages comments about the district from members of the public. Anyone who has signed up to speak in advance of the meeting, in accordance with the board procedures, may do so at this time. An individual's comments to the board shall pertain to the district business and be no longer than 3 minutes. The board president will signal with one finger when 1 minute remains, and signal again with 30 seconds remaining. For any member of the public who is accompanied by a translator, your time will be doubled as required by law. Be advised the board may not discuss or act upon any issues that are not posted on our agenda. Speakers may not attack the character of any employee or official during the public comment. In addition, the board has adopted policies to provide prompt and equitable resolutions of complaints and concerns for employees, students, or their parents, and the general public. Copies of our district policies and procedures on public comment and filing complaints are available online or in the superintendent's office at the administration building at 310 East Market Street, Maybank, Texas, 75147. All right. Did you decide who you want to go first, sir? Ms. Ford?
No, I'm Ms. Bindle.
You're Ms. Bindle. Okay, I'm sorry.
So I want to tell you a story. Recently, two 10-year-old boys at Maybank Intermediate were sentenced to 5 days of ISS with the threat of DAEP. Why? A group of boys were popping their sandwich bags in the lunchroom. When one kid popped his, another kid said, "You've got a gun in your backpack." This happened a time or two more. No teacher heard it. The kids laughed, knowing they were joking. Next, on the playground, something else was said or done, and my grandson, Reed, said, "You have a gun in your backpack." A teacher heard it and reported it to the office. The assistant principal sentenced Reed and another boy to 5 days in ISS while maintaining to his mother that he could have given him 30 days in DAEP. He admitted that he knew Reed was joking. Reed nor his friends know the gravity of those kind of statements in today's society. They are 10-year-olds. My question is, where was the common sense? Where was the deductive reasoning? Where were the situational ethics? What message was sent? What teaching opportunities were missed in favor of discipline? Maybank ISD is diligent to conduct fire drills and lockdown drills while making sure that kids are quiet and listen for further instructions. When I ask Reed what the lockdown drills are for, he says, "In case someone bad gets in the school." Now I want to present another scenario. Kids are on the playground. One says, "I have a gun in my backpack," and walks off. His friend wants to tell the teacher, but another friend says, "You know, if you do, you'll get ISS." 2 hours later, they do not tell. So 2 hours later, a phone rings. 911, what is your emergency?
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Warren?
I got a lot more, so I'll talk fast. Who signals?
I do.
You do.
When you have, you'll go 2 minutes and then 1 minute.
Okay.
All
All right, good evening. My name is Candace Ward, and I'm a mom of three within Maybank ISD and a proud Maybankian. My husband and I are both Maybank alumni and serve in our community. He serves as a volunteer with the Maybank Volunteer Fire Department and coaches two of our kids in soccer. I've worked as a nurse within Henderson County for more than 13 years. I actually left work early to be here tonight. And while we may not have a last name that garners favoritism or special treatment around here, we do have roots. My grandma is even a proud Maybank alumni, and my great uncle Dole has probably cut some of y'all's hair. So when Mr. Melton approached me about serving on the newly reestablished PTO, it was a quick and easy yes. While serving under his administration, we were able to raise thousands of dollars, buying countless supplies for Southside and serving the staff with food and support. But most importantly, we had the honor of loving on the kids on our campus. I can honestly spend my entire time telling you the ways that we supported the school. When administration changed last year, I personally attempted to develop a foundation of teamwork and support. But as the year went on, it was clear that my involvement within the PTO was becoming an insurmountable issue for the current administration. This year, the issues became so great that I recently resigned my position with the board from the PTO. Before resigning, I had the opportunity to review the new intended bylaws for the PTO, in which the executive board consists of the principal, two staff members, teachers, a treasurer, who must also be a staff member, and one parent, one single parent. This clearly seems to be constructed as a teacher organization, allowing administration maximum control. In years prior when I served, one of the main PTO goals was parent involvement, but not anymore. As of now, to my knowledge, there have been zero offers for parent involvement, volunteer, or support. Why is that? Southside's not alone in this culture. I'm also a member of the intermediate PTO, paid my $10 dues and everything, and have yet heard from any upcoming volunteer opportunities. I will say I wasn't at the last meeting, but there have been no cries for support or involvement other than financial going out on a very active Facebook page. During Spirit Week, I actually emailed the admin seeking the opportunity to serve and did so. Why the exclusionary culture? Has admin lost sight of the role parents and families play on the student's educational journey? If the kid sees you at school enjoying yourself, talking to teachers and staff with kindness and respect, don't you think they'll do the same? Surely you'll haven't forgotten about the impact modeled behavior has on kids. Kids who see their parents read are more likely to enjoy reading. Is that also not true for volunteering? Kids who see their parents volunteering are more likely to do so. Kids who see their parents being kind to that mean, bad, smelly, weird kid when we're at school interacting with these kids are more likely to do the same. I feel like some of the administration believes the public school system is a dictatorship instead of the partnership it should be, and that is never to serve the interests of the kids.
Next, we're moving to public hearing. A is a financial integrity rating system of Texas, first report and annual financial management report. Is that Mr.
Wright? Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the board, Title 19 of the Texas Administration Code, Section 109, mandates a financial management report annually be presented, containing certain disclosures, and number one is the first rating or the financial integrity rating system of Texas report that we're given each year on our school district. In the packet, I've given a little bit of history. I'm not going to go into that because it's similar to prior years, but it's been around for about 25 years and it's designated to hold school districts accountable for the quality of our financial practices and create transparency and disclose the quality of our processes. It's kind of similar to a school rating. You get an A through F. Rating is the options. The next few pages I've got here just kind of go over the different criteria in which they grade you upon. There's 21 total questions or tests or measures, one of which is not being scored since our COVID years. It's not being scored. Some of those have come back. We see things like, was the annual financial report submitted on time at the end of our financial year or our fiscal year? Did we have an unmodified opinion, which is the highest rating? Have we timely paid all our bills? Have we made good on our obligations for the Texas Retirement System, Texas Workforce Commission, and the IRS? They also looks at things like our financial solvency. Do we have a positive net position in our financial report? Did our fund balance decline too quickly? How many days after the financial fiscal year ends could we survive with just the money we have on hand without receiving any more revenue? We need at least 90 days. Looks at our short-term assets versus liabilities, our long-term assets versus long-term liabilities. Number 10 is not scored. One thing I do want to point out is number 11. It's the ratio of our long-term liabilities to total assets. This is something we've scored on very well. This is one of the items that wasn't scored during COVID but has come back. We did receive a perfect score on this year, but with the recent sale of our bonds, these assets which we're creating, our new campuses, the additions, those will be booked until after, well, a couple of years till they're finished. We may see a drop in this score temporarily because we will have to recognize that long-term liability without bringing on and booking those long-term assets. So we may see a short drop in that. Number 12 is similar to that. It has to do with our ability to pay debt versus assessed property value. We may see a small drop in that. I don't expect any of these things in the future to drop us below an A, which puts us in really good shape, but last few years we've had a perfect score, and that's the standard we've grown accustomed to, and that's where we'll be. But we have other measures such as student ratio to staff. Do we have any declining enrollment? How's our ADA look compared to what projections we've made to TEA? One thing I do want to brag on is Marcia Sanchez in our PEAMS department. One of the things that's tested here is how accurate are we with all the data that we submit to TEA. And I was surprised to find there's 42,246,747 data points that we submit to TEA for the 23-24 year. We can have to be plus or minus 3%, so we can't have more than 3% errors in that. We had 86, which were not fatal errors, they're minor errors, which, I had to see the zeros here, that is 0.02% off. And our standard to get a perfect score on that question is 3%. So kudos goes to Marcia Sanchez and making sure that we're very accurate in all our submissions to TEA. The auditor also checks to see if we have any non-compliance with grants, contracts, laws. Do we have everything posted on the website correctly? Do we talk about at the board meetings anything that will impact our budget going forward before we bring up the budget within a few months before that time? And lastly, do we ever have an adjusted repayment schedule for more than 1 year with TEA if you're under financial hardship? And so, I already said a little bit of a spoiler, we did have a perfect score this year. The report is posted in your packet here and is also posted for public viewing on our website as well as TEA's website. We do also have some other disclosures that we make within this is any reimbursements or payments to the board or superintendent, superintendent's contract, as well as any business transactions, which typically comprise some of you guys doing the announcing at a ball game and things like that. So all of that is in here. Also, at the very end of that's a little glossary on if you get bored and have trouble falling asleep at night and you want to look at any terms that were used in the reports given here, that glossary is at the end. But that concludes the 2025 financial management report. And I do want to note this is a 24-25 financial report, but the first report is actually based on 23-24 data, so there is a one-year lag on the financial data that's reported in here.
Presentations. Say is.
Oh, I thought you said something.
Sorry. English is the second language program evaluation 2024-25 presentation by Director of Teach and Learn, Ms.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall, President, and the Board. So this is something that we have to do every year. So it is mandated. We have to do an annual evaluation of our program, so we're collecting a full range of data to determine program effectiveness to ensure student academic success with our EB students, and it's due every year by November 1st. So the purpose of this report is to provide content design, our number of EBs in the district, denial of services, academic progress, which is STAR, level of English language acquisition, which is TELPASS, number of EB students who reclassified, our bilingual exception and waiver, professional development plan, and our program effectiveness. And then our content and design, it just basically says that our law requires that bilingual education or ESL program has to be offered to our emergent bilingual students by recommendations of staff upon the approval of students' parents. Since we do not have a bilingual education program here in Maybank ISD, our pre-K through first has what we call an ESL content-based program, and that is because they are self-contained, and so they have an English acquisition program that serves our EB students through English instruction by a teacher that's certified in ESL with all subject areas, so the reading, the math, the science, and social studies, again, because they are self-contained. Second through 12 are departmentalized, and so they have a reading teacher. So we do what we call an ESL pull-out program with them, where it's an English acquisition program that serves our EB students with a certified ESL teacher in their reading class. We also have a program that is very, very successful, and at the very end, I'm gonna share a celebration with you, but we do have what we call a Summit K-12. So it is a program that we use here in the district that all of our campuses have. And our elementaries, they have a rotation with certain kids that see a paraprofessional that runs this program. And then fifth through high school, they actually, it is built in their schedules, and it is called Summit K-12. So this is the number of EBs. This year, we're pushing 442 students. Sorry about that. 442 students as of right now. We have 87 new enrollees, so we do see that we are increasing in our EBs. You see that Southside went up, Lakeview, Central drastically from the year before. Intermediate, junior high stayed a little bit of the same, and then we have 111 at the high school, so we went up there as well. This just gives you the number by grade, so the highest that we have is in eighth grade with 41 students. This is total number of denials with parents. They can deny services. I am pretty proud of this number over the past, especially last year, we have decreased with this number because I think a lot of our EB parents don't understand the importance of the program and the extra support that we can give them. A lot of times they think that if they deny, they don't have to take the TELPASS test, but that is not true. They still have to take the TELPASS test. So again, I just think it's important talking with these parents to let them know and having them understand the importance of the extra support for them to be successful. So we have decreased this number. The next slide shows our STAR and EOC results kind of just across the board here over the years. With our EB students, this next slide is with our EB students, and hold on, let me go back, sorry. There we go, my slide is a little bit different. It is a little disheartening to see that we did decrease our percentage scores across the board with our STAR results with our EB students. I went to my core session with my multilingual at Region 10, and we discussed this. Was this just a Maybank thing that we went down in our scores from the previous year? And actually, it is not just a Maybank ISD thing. Across the state, there was a difference, a decrease in scores from the previous year. We kind of talked about why is that, and they just said because the test was more rigorous assessment, linguistic challenges of standardized tests, lagging achievement levels, shortage of resources and certified bilingual ESL teachers, and then the new test design and the automated scoring, especially when you have students that have broken English. And so we know that this is where we need to hone in on and do better for sure. So that is something that we know, and we are going to get that those scores up across the board. Now, very excited though. This just kind of breaks down each subject. So it gives you ELAR, and then here is math, what I kind of showed you before, just a little bit bigger so you can see. Science, social studies. And then this is a positive, very proud of this. Our TELPAS results increased this year. We want our kiddos to be in the advanced high level over to the right, because at the end of the day, we want them to exit the program, and so they can exit if they have a composite of advanced and advanced high. And so you can see here that advanced from last year was 133, and the year before was 133, and then last year was 173. So a lot of our kids advanced, and we were really excited about that. And we also improved in advanced high. So that's really good. This is a positive slide. Very excited to share this. Our goal here at Maybank ISD is we want to make sure that every EB student advances at least one proficiency level per year. And so this just kind of breaks down that K through second, there were 21 students, third through 12th, 113. And then all grades, 134 students. And last year, I think that was like 89, 90. So that is a huge improvement there. So very excited about that. Of course, we would love them to go two proficiency levels, but that is tough to do. And our goal is one, and we did meet that. This shows reclassification, also very powerful slide. Very, very proud of this. Previous year, we reclassified 14, and then last year in 2024, 34 kids. So very proud of that. We very rarely see reclassification in elementary and intermediate, and we had 15 kids that reclassified in elementary and in intermediate. And then high school, great job going from the 8 from the previous year to 12. So very proud of that. Every year we have to file a bilingual education exception because the state says we should have a bilingual program if we have students that speak one language, which is Spanish, that is over 20. And so in each grade level, we have more than 20. So I have to file a bilingual exception. I also have to file an ESL waiver for the district on those teachers 6th through 12th grade that are not ESL certified, that are an RLA teacher. So I had to file 8 waivers. Super proud of, last year was 12. So we did go down from there, and that is the main goal. Of course, we want all elementary teachers certified and our secondary RLA certified. Professional development plan, just real quick. We have all kinds of trainings that we do throughout the school year, whether it's security or calibration. We have a really neat incentive here at Maybank ISD where if a teacher gets their ESL certification, we reimburse them the $118 for the test. So that really seems to work. Sheltered instruction training, we just had Isabel. She's amazing. She came in on September 15th and October 24th. We had 52 teachers that did go through this training. It's called Sheltered Instruction, which brought in an increased awareness of effective teaching strategies for our EBs. And then we'll have training throughout the year. And then this website is a really good website for additional PD and teacher resources for them as well. Effectiveness review. So this is kind of our program strength. So of course we have DMAC that streamlines everything, LPAC campus facilitators on each campus. We're reimbursing the ESL supplemental certification. We're offering targeted professional development opportunities. We went from filing 12 ESLs to 8. We purchased the Summit K-12, which has really, really helped our kids in TELPAS and reclassifying. We have continuous training on that with all of our paraprofessionals. We do have Rosetta Stone at the high school. Also, something really neat that Mr. Rowland has implemented is a new ESL English 1 class. And that seems to be very successful as well. TELPAS scores and growth has really improved. and then they increased the number of students who met reclassification criteria. We always have room to grow. So growth is we need to continue to recruit our ESL certified teachers, decrease the number of teachers on the waiver, implement a bilingual education program eventually, offer ELPs. New ELPs are coming out, so that is going to be a big change, and we're going to have to get everybody trained up. Bridge formative assessments to TELPASS, welcoming newcomers. We need to make sure, I guess our biggest area of growth is just getting those STAR scores up where they need to be. We did it the year before, we can do it again. And then develop a professional learning plan to address families and community. And that ends my my presentation. The last thing I just want to do just real quick is give a shout out, a little celebration here. We use the program Summit K-12, and it's across the district on every campus. We have a paraprofessional that runs the program. I received an email a few weeks ago that said, congratulations, y'all are a contender with the district, one of our schools in the district, which is the high school, and one of our educators that runs this this ESL program at the junior high, which is Herlinda. And the reason why we became a contender is because they look at all of this data, and they look at, based on like the usage that we're using it in the district, they look at our TELPASS scores, notice how our advanced went up high, and effective implementation strategies. Well, after that, we were all interviewed. So I was interviewed for the district. Mr. Rowland and Wendy Gonzalez from the high school was interviewed. And then Herlinda from the high, from the junior high, along with, I believe, Boyd and Rowley as the support system, were interviewed. Then they had an interview process. Then it came back and we were a finalist. And so all three, district, high school, and Herlinda, were a finalist for the Sunnies. I didn't even know that this was a thing. I didn't even know you could get this award. So I attended on Saturday. I went to the annual conference. And now at this point, we knew that they were gonna show our names because we were recognized for being a finalist. We just didn't know if we would get a place or not. So we ended up bringing some hardware home. So very excited. So we received second place at about 15 schools, second place for extra small district of the year. And then we received second place for high school campus of the year. And then we received fourth place with Herlinda with the educator of the year for the junior high. So super excited about that and had to share that. That was me carrying all the boxes. People were like, Maybank, yeah, we're the only ones that received that many awards. So it was tough carrying it to the car. So I just wanted to tell, you know, curriculum, thank you so much for just always listening and, you know, programs that really do work. And you know, we purchased that, and I appreciate that. And thank you for the principals in the room for putting the people in the right places and just doing the program with fidelity because it's working. So congratulations, and now I'm ready to get first place. So we can do that. And that is it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, one thing. Hey, I've got two questions for you. So I think it's Ms. Thompson. I think didn't you give us this report last year? And so that number still stands out to me of why people will not sign their kid up for this program. There's got to be a, I mean, 28 seems to be a lot of kids.
And it did decrease from last year. I believe last year I think that number was like 39 last year. But a lot of it is parents think that they don't have to take the TELPASS test, and that's why they don't want their kids to get the service, but that is not it at all. So just
like they feel isolated or something? Mm-hmm. It's not that?
No. Mm-hmm. And it's just making those phone calls to parents and just letting them know that, hey, we can give the support. You know, they still have to take TELPASS. We can put them in the Summit K-12 to help them further. So. But yeah, so we're still working on it though. I even had a meeting yesterday with a counselor because she was talking with a parent and they were, because they can switch at any time. That was her question. Can they switch if they change their mind? Absolutely, that's what we want.
And the other question I have is, you said you hope eventually we can get to some sort of program.
Bilingual education program.
Yeah, big, so what does that look like?
So that looks
is
like
that the, on each campus, or is that?
It would be on one campus, but that is personnel, that is a bilingual teacher, that is some bilingual staff, but it would be housed on one campus with two classrooms, because if you, or one, but if you have 22 and more, you have to have another classroom. So if you have 40, you have to have two classrooms of that. So it's staffing.
Per grade level.
Per grade level, yeah.
Yeah. Per grade.
Yes.
Kind of
pre-K, first, second, yeah.
Put multiple years in the same classroom, or it's still just like a regular?
Correct, okay. Yes, sir. So it's staffing. Yes, sir. Good questions.
Any other questions?
Any other?
Conrad?
Anybody?
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, B is an intruder audit conducted on October 10th, 2025 at the junior high campus. Their findings, we dealt with that in closed session earlier today. Next, we're going to move on to A, consent agenda items. I'm going to bring these first A through F together. A is September 22nd, 2025 regular board meeting minutes. B, August monthly financial report update. C, September monthly financial report. D, check registry report. E, cash position report. And F, tax collection report. Mr. Adam.
Thank you, Mr. President. tonight I'd like to focus a little bit on the an updated report from August. Typically, month end, it's not too much of a problem to have everything updated to where your financial report is pretty accurate and up to date. But at year end in August, it takes a little bit of time to close out the year. So the last report you had last month didn't have all the facts. So I want to make sure that we had to give you an update to get you closer to where we look at finishing up the fiscal year. So as we go through this, one of the things I wanted to point out, we have Fund 192 that is an athletic fund that we use to show profit loss with playoff games or anytime we use another school uses our facilities. It was positive $11,185. And then our 199 fund, our general fund, both those funds are actually looked at in combination. We just break it out to track. It was our general fund actually showed a loss of $388,657. When you net those two together, we show a loss of $377,472. So that's what we'd be looking at coming out of our fund balance this year. But an important thing to note with that is we budgeted early on in the year with a balanced budget. Didn't really budget in for any capital projects until we progressed in the year and started seeing what revenues were going to take shape and what our enrollment looked like. And going on through the year, we actually ended up implementing over $1 million in capital projects. In addition to that, we ordered some buses, and I think you'll authorize that in March, ordered in April, and we thought they were going to come in like the previous buses were going to come in, and we paid out of 25-26, because we were seeing, 9 to 18-month lag times in the last few years, and they came in 2 months. So we got to pay for $605,000 worth of buses in 24-25 that were anticipated to be paid out of 25-26. So for all intents and purposes, we should have been up $275,000 or $225,000 or so. That just means we have that money in 25-26 since we already spent it in 24-25. But that's a really good position to be in for completing well over $1.5 million in capital projects, pretty much cash flowing all of that. And we still expect to end our fund balance and general fund at $19.5 million, which is a little over 5 months operating expense. Good position to be in. All the other funds, most of the 200 funds you see month in, month out are our grant funds. And a lot of times you're going to see those with a negative balance on that. That's because we have to actually expend that money before we can ask for reimbursement and get that back from the federal or state government. You'll notice on this report now they net out to zero. That means we've expended that money and we've either received it or booked the receivable that it's in progress to be received. Fund 240 is our food service fund. It's another area that I'm pretty proud of, even though it has a negative number on there. At the bottom of that, you'll see that it shows a loss of $156,562, but that's after we implemented a spend down program, which we're mandated to do by the federal government, that we can't keep more than 6 months of fund balance in possession. So we were required to spend down approximately $700,000, and we did about $600,000 and change of that in this fiscal year. and still only took $156,000 out of fund balance. We replaced a whole lot of equipment, updated our facilities, and got rid of a lot of dated equipment, and we're still really good shape. We're looking at about $1.271 million in fund balance, which is a little bit below the 6 months we're required, that we're mandated we can't go above. So now we're in the process of just making sure that we get food quality up, quantity up, and pour it into our employees for a successful program. The remainder of that page is, again, grant funds. All those will show a zero balance because we expended and received those. Next page is primarily grant funds, still zero balances. You can see Fund 462 and 461 are our campus activity and athletic activity accounts, ending $207,000 and $172,000 to the positive. Really good shape in both of those. Tell you what, Wellness Center's having a really good time too. We've made some big investments over the last 18 months in our Wellness Center, and we saw about a 40% increase in revenue from that, and that's employees. That's completely 100% funded by employee contributions that they optionally provide from their paycheck just for 5 years, and they become vested. And we looked at this year, we put $38,244 in the bank, even after expenses. So it's a really good self-sustaining program. It's a great asset for our employees. Last two things I want to mention, our debt service fund. We did have a purposeful strategic withdrawal out of that. It is negative $5.7 million. If you recall, we used about $3.7 million to pay off some debt early because we had a pretty large fund balance. And we used about $2 million of that to buy down the tax rate to make sure we keep it consistent going forward, even after issuing this $116 million bond. So that's going to leave us still over about $5.5 million in fund balance, well over 6 months worth of operating expenses in our debt service fund. And lastly, Fund 621, that's our bond construction fund. We ended the year at $112 million in our bond construction fund. We received $116 million, but we spent over $9 million, and that's because of interest revenue. So we're doing really good in that, but one thing I just want to caution, we are doing so well on our interest revenue, we don't want to plan for spending all of that quite yet until we get a few years down the road and do some arbitrage calculations. There are some IRS requirements on that. But really great shape overall, ended really well for finances for the year. And at this point, we're really close to closing out. You've got a really good close picture of what the auditors are going to present to you in January going forward. Say all that, TEA doesn't finalize our revenues until spring anyways. But this is about as close as you're going to get. I don't have much to mention on the rest of the financials. Tax collections are on point with prior years. On the cash investment, I kind of already touched on that, where we stand. We've got about 6 months. Six months worth of cash in general and payroll, 5 months with food service, and over 6 months with debt service funds. So everything's looking in really good shape.
All right. Monthly donation report.
All right. Generally, you have the report that's in there. We did mention last month Mr. Richard Aldridge was going to making a donation. We understated a little bit. I think we said it was under $5,000, but it actually ended up being $5,400, which he contributed for the purchase of a trailer for our fishing team. We've already, I believe, have it in hand now.
It's behind the gate, isn't it, Randy? That's right. And not only that, he handled all of it, went and got it, delivered it, and we're very proud of this.
Only other two items on there, we did have a donation from Keith Bell Campaign for some Ten Commandments signs for 90 classrooms at elementary level. And then we have the Kaufman County Emergency Services District, which is associated with the Volunteer Fire Department, is going to contribute $1,400 to some folding tables. So we've got some shared cost in that, where they're paying for about half of the folding tables we're going to go buy. So benefit all mutually beneficial to both parties.
All right, budget amendments?
None.
Property tax resales?
None.
Out-of-state trips?
None. All right.
Mr. Connor?
Move to approve consent agenda items.
Second, Mr. T. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Passes unanimously. All right. Now we'll move on to discussion action items. A, review and consider approval of the annual investment report and policies. What does Mr. Hyde again ask?
One more time. Thank you, Mr. President. Again, this is our annual investment report. We do present quarterly reports, but in addition to that, there's some items we have to do some housekeeping on annually. Other report on page four, it gives the three required actions of the Board of Trustees each year. One, shall review the district's investment policy and investment strategies not less than annually. Two, must approve an independent source or sources for investment training required to be provided to the district's designated investment officers. And three, annually review, revise, and adopt a list of qualified brokers authorized to engage in investment transactions with the district's designated investment officers. So for this agenda item, there's going to be three separate motions that will need to be made to act on this. A few things before we act on this, just wanted to point out on page six, just going over a quick snapshot. I know I already talked a little bit about the interest earnings. But on page six at the bottom, it reviews investment policies and strategies for 2024 or 2025. We've heavily engaged local governmental investment pools in our investment strategy. Right now, most of those pools are yielding at or above what a lot of fixed income investments are earning. But we have a lot of liquidity and safety within those pools. This last year, in total, MISD had realized interest income in all funds totaling $6.679 million. General fund was a little over $1 million of that. Debt service fund was a little over $500,000. Food service fund yielded $70,000. Workers' comp fund, about $8,000. And then the bond construction fund, $5.072 million. So we realized around a 4.5% return average for the entire year, which was really good, having liquid cash at all times. Looking at investment strategies and plan for 25-26, generally it's going to be a continuation of what we've been doing for 24-25. One of the things I want to point out is our primary objectives are safety, liquidity, and maturity. You don't hear yield in that. We want to make sure we're yielding, having a very good yield and return on our investments. But safety is the number one goal. So we want to make sure that however our investments are placed, that safety and liquidity are the top two. We could earn a higher return, but again, we want to make sure that we're good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. So really, we plan to make use of those local government investment pools moving forward. If we see a falling rate environment, we might look at some fixed income investments, but more of the same. On to the resolutions. There's no changes presented in policy. Those are contained in the packet on pages 22 to 45. That's our board policy. So we're recommending no changes to investment policy and continuation of the superintendent and chief financial officer are as the investment officers for the district. The next item recommending action on is the resolution approving investment training providers. No changes to the providers. We have a list of TASB, TASA, TASBO, UNT, and Region 10 as our providers for investment training. And then lastly is brokers, dealers. This would be if we go and buy treasuries or something like that. We're still recommending Hilltop Securities and Simmons Bank as our two brokers that would be approved. And then the rest of this packet is all of our policies and the Public Funds Investment Act.
Mr. President.
Mr. Cohen.
Move the Board of Trustees adopt the resolution stating the investment policy and strategies have been reviewed and approved, no changes, and Superintendent and Chief Financial Officer as investment officers for the district.
Motion, Mr. Cohen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Tiberina. Any further questions or comments about that one? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. Second.
Mr. President.
Mr. Cohen.
Move the Board of Trustees adopt resolution for recommended independent sources for investment training as presented.
Motion, Mr. Cohen.
Second.
Second, Mr. T. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. Now, third.
Move the Board of Trustees adopt the resolution for recommended brokers and dealers as presented.
Motion, Mr. Connor.
Second,
Mr. Tiarina. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. All right. Now we'll move on to B. Consider amendments to the Maybank ISD District of Innovation Plan. Dr. Marshall.
Mr. Grimes, members of the board, as you'll come to even more so understand, the 89th legislative session was quite a busy one, and they included some statutes that removed some exemption opportunities from our current District of Innovation. So there are now some prohibited items that were on our current District of Innovation that needed to be amended and removed. They're exemption 21.057, 28.004, Student Health Advisory Council meeting, and then the entire Chapter 37 was now listed as a prohibited item. So given that we were in the position to amend our District of Innovation, we took it as an opportunity to research even further and find some additional exemptions that we could add, given we were going to need to discuss amendments anyway. And so we did. We researched, and in interest of making these amendments, we would also like to add the exemption 25111, which allows more flexibility for our Grow Your Own programs in case we have some certification projects that we're working on in our classrooms for our student to teacher ratios. We also are going to look at adding the exemption for 26011, which is a parent grievance policy. There's a new statute that allows up to 120 days to solve a grievance, and our current policy and practice allows for less than 35 days if we should have that information and evidence ahead of us. So we'd like to satisfy our grievances in a more rapid and efficient manner of time than what's presented in the current statute. And finally, an exemption from 33006, counselor duties. The current statute really has an unrealistic expectation for counselors and how they serve our students in the sense of their daily activities. It would require undue paperwork. So we did some research and we found some other district innovations that have exempted themselves from this duties to allow our counselors to conduct business as usual and continue to serve our students as they have successfully for several years. So we'd like to amend these. These were all brought before the district committee on the 8th of October without any reservations from our district committee. And we'd like to seek your approval tonight for these exemptions and amendments.
All right, thank you, Mr. Tracy.
Mr. President.
Mr. T.
I move we approve the District of Innovation Plan amendments as presented.
Motion from Mr. T.
Second,
Mr. Connor. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. C. Consider approval of Vanzant County Appraisal District Board of Director candidates for 2026-2027 term resolution.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall. This is an opportunity we have with each of the appraisal districts or the county appraisal districts which we're a part of. Vanzant has a slate of nominees, four individuals. I've worked with three of these gentlemen. Mr. Clay Nicholas is a member of the Canton ISD Board of Trustees. Kyle Thompson is a member of Grand Slain ISD Board of Trustees, and C.W. Wilson Jr. is a former Wells Point ISD board member as well as a CPA, and all great to work with, and I think do a good job leading the Vanzant County Appraisal District. And we'd recommend allocating our votes 35, 35, 34 respectively between those three gentlemen.
Okay.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
I move to approve the resolution electing the following candidates: Clay Nicholas, Kyle Thompson, and C.W. Wilson Jr. for the Vanzant Appraisal District Board of Directors for the 26-27 term as presented.
All right. Motion from Mr. Tiarina.
Second.
Mr. Parker spoke of it. All right. Mr. Parker for the second. All right. Any further questions or comments? All those in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. D. Consider approval of library materials purchase list as presented. Dr. Marshall.
Yes, sir. Mr. President, in accordance with Texas Education Code 33.026, as added by the 89th legislature with Senate Bill 13. School districts are required to post proposed library material purchase lists for at least 30 days prior to board approval. And the proposed lists have been posted publicly on the curriculum page for the required period with no questions or objections received during that review window. And we are asking you to approve those purchase lists so that we move forward on campuses and make those buy those library books.
Times a year is this come up?
It depends on how often we purchase new materials that are not already in our library catalog. So anything that has not been previously purchased and is not already cataloged in our library, we have to ask for approval. So we're keeping running folders on the curriculum webpage for each month, and if something comes up in that month, then we will ask for approval to purchase.
So maybe 2 or 3 months.
So it could be one book or it could be 100 books.
Yes, sir. If it's one book, I think that we should probably wait until the next month. But currently the lists have been pretty long as far as, and I need to clarify with our librarian that it's only new materials that she's posting.
All right, any further questions? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Pass unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Kroon. All right, closing activities. A, construction project updates. Dr. Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. What you have on these handouts or these uploads in here, this is what's on our website that the public can see as far as our project updates. Elementary school is moving right along. Sometimes you look at it, it looks like there's a lot of dirt's moving, but they're putting a whole lot of utilities and a lot of work in where that dirt's being moved. Fire lane installs continuing. We've got power. Actually, since this has been updated, I think we've made some progress with Encore getting at least temporary power to the site. Done a lot of work on storm sewer pipe installation, and they've actually done a lot of work on this because we're getting the rainy season now. Put some temporary things in there to move that water along so we know rain's coming, and they can keep working or get it out there faster when rain comes. May have mentioned this last time, but they've already done the detention pond, got a lot of drainage going out to it just to try to keep that site clear. Water main's been installed on the south side, and lots of coordination with the city on utilities and road work. They've been great to work with on this. On the high school, you've probably seen driveway construction has completed the loop all the way around. We just like some of the infill and the parking. A lot of more site utilities going in, storm sewer drainage, but the drilling of the foundational piles has been completed. So they have punched a lot of holes in the ground out there, very deep, and backfilled those. And it says the grade beams have been poured, others upcoming. Well, they've already come about since this has been done. There's been a whole lot of more grade beams been poured and installed since this report was done. On the junior high project, they already had the job trailer up and construction fencing. They've started drilling piles on the actual addition on the west side of the school. But over fall break, they brought the drill over to the cafeteria addition and completed putting those piles in over the fall break. Still doing a lot of site prep, and you've probably seen all of the storm sewer concrete sections that are going out there, very, very large. You know, they said 54 inch in diameter. That's interior diameter. That stuff is huge. And we're going to have to move fast on it because we're getting water. And they're going to be moving on that pretty soon. We had planned November, and they've already kind of tried to get a little bit ahead of the game, but we're almost in November now. So moving right along on each of the projects. We anticipate that either a representative from Jackson or Claycomb will be here next month, give a little bit more detail, construction update to you guys at that time.
I do like the little bars. The
that helps remind me when these things are, can't remember which one's going to end which time, so I mean, this does help a lot. And the completion part, they should help a lot of people if they're looking at that.
Absolutely.
Because that's the question you get, or that I get most of, is where are we at with those things, you know. So. Anybody else? I know you got a comment. All right. Any other thing to do with announcements or questions? Or?
You know, every day is a Thursday, it's National Sunflower Day or whatever, or some month. Some of those are kind of silly. One that's not is it's Principal Month. And I will tell you, you're looking at some hardworking men and women that have, that are making a difference and changing culture on their campus. And I just tell you, they love kids, they love their parents, they work with their parents, and they work with this community. And I'm very proud at every level of the principals and directors in this room. And you're doing a wonderful job. And it's a lot of times it's thankless, and you can make 99 home runs with one strikeout. The headline is, they struck out. But I want you to know, keep on with what you're doing. You make a difference, and I appreciate you.
Probably should say something about our band.
Oh, yeah, our band. Our band, incredible. They've got straight ones at Regent, and that puts you to Eric. And our area is full of giants. Three-time state champion, Salina, Canton, always been tough, Wills Point, and state every year, the top, usually three or four of the top five are always from our area. Well, today, started with 21 or 22 bands from everywhere, all the way down to Little Cypress, Mar Weavesfield.
Fredericksburg.
No, not the bad thing. Don't let him distract me.
It took him 20 minutes to remember Fredericksburg.
All the way down to Lumberton, that area, all the way up to Texarkana, across to the Metroplex. And Drew and I went up today, and they put on an incredible performance. They made the finals, so they're in the top 12, and they just got off the field about 15 minutes ago, and so we'll wait. They won't have results until probably 10 o'clock or after, because there's 12 bands, and we would get the win. But win, lose, or draw, what a wonderful job they did. And those kids started in October, I mean in August. They're quick learners. They started in October. How good could we have been if we'd have started in August, right? They started in August on hot pavement, and they've just done a wonderful job. And they're finding out what it takes to be a winner and how hard it is. And, you know, it's kind of like that. They don't get 10 Friday nights to have the scoreboard. They got that one time, and then they got today. So they're 2-0 right now. Let's see what you're doing tonight. Wonderful job. The entire staff got some really great young people he brought on this year that added a lot of energy and a lot of creative ideas. So thanks for reminding me of that. They've done a wonderful job.
You guys have anything else to add? Nothing in the ag department?
All not yet.
It's getting close, then.
Yeah, they started their early events last week, and then I think they go again Friday, so should be exciting.
Taking a bus Friday. That's how many we got. That's how many we got participating. We're taking a bus.
Taking the new one that's all wrapped up?
Maybe so. I don't know.
We have an ag teacher with a CDL, first time.
There you go.
Served up in 16 years. I mean,
people don't realize what an obstacle the CDL thing is for across the board to the valley.
We did get a first place finish last week, though. We had a first, a second, a third, and then we had a couple more they're still working on. So.
Randy's got it going on.
I don't know if he's going to take a rap bus because we have an out-of-town football game. I don't know why people schedule all this when we have an out-of-town football game.
Get more rap buses.
We need more rap buses.
But not 18 months to plan to go back.
Do you think the bus thing is, that's a past deal now, that it's going to be kind of when you order them, you'll be back to kind of a normal timeline?
I think so. This was kind of an anomaly. They called me and said, hey, your four buses are coming. And I called the bus salesman and they like, it just happened that way. So it was kind of rare that they came in. But, you know, a lot of the buses coming to Texas stop at Decatur and get the AC put in. And so they're putting AC in buses just as fast as they can go. And so it was kind of odd that we ordered those and got them, because the year before it took us almost 14 months to get them. So,
are y'all still working on our neighbors' buses?
What do you think?
Our neighbors.
Are you working on Eustace buses?
Not so much. We gave them a timeline and they thought it was too long, so they went to another place. So,
okay.
We did a little work on it, and they're different over there, I'm telling you. They're just different over there.
All right.
As you know, last year, our problem was turning a lot of starters from the bronze medal state final team. And today, they went up to Sulphur Springs, where they're going to play the regional. I said they're going to play regional because they're going to win district. And 20-something teams from 3, 4, 5A all over, and they won it going away. And wonderful job there. And we've got Coach K. Park. They're getting up where they need to be, playing these tougher tournaments and on these courses that they're going to see again. And they're going to be tough to beat in Austin, Michigan.
Y'all got anything?
Do.
All right.
Thursday, the Reader's Choice comes out, and last year, the only award that was given in our district was for principal. So we'd like to see more teachers, and so if you can, you know, encourage people to fill out the Reader's Choice, drop it by, put it in the box in the office, and we'd like to see Maybank get recognized.
Where is it about?
In the newspaper. It starts this Thursday, the 29th, and it'll be in the newspaper this Thursday, this Friday, this Sunday, and I think one more.
And that's the only way you can vote is with a ballot from the paper?
Yes, sir.
Last year I bought all the papers.
I think you can't make copies of the ballot.
Believe it or not, people do that.
I'm just saying, I did buy quite a bit of them.
He did.
I didn't know they were out until she showed up at my house.
I wondered why school, that receipt came in for reimbursement. 5,000 newspapers.
It was for a project. Art classroom project.
Macrame was making masks, right?
The rest of it was used for a project.
You know, we were wondering why he came in and wanted all those recyclables. Yeah.
That's right.
That's it. Thank you. All right, guys. Thank you all. Thank you very much. We'll adjourn this meeting at 8:53.